Translation, the order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless. Please listen up because there's about 25 words to the purport. Here is the opinion of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Persons who strictly follow the orders of the spiritual master are useful in executing the will of the Supreme, whereas persons who deviate from the strict order of the spiritual master are useless. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadammayam Dadati Swam Padanti Kam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganad Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kaupa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Pavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Siya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hum. So what is the connection with this verse from the chapter? The connection is that Advaita Acharya had six sons. Three were Vaishnavas, and three took to other forms of spiritual practice, Mayavadi and impersonalists. So although they were sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Advaita Acharya is none different than Mahavishnu, with the element of Sadashiva, along with Mahavishnu. And therefore, he is seen and worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Appearing in that form to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his leelas, he becomes a grihastha, a respectable person, a great scholar, a pundit, a teacher, a person who is revered by all as a great Vaishnava, and people take shelter from him and learn from him. He has six sons. Three are Vaishnavas, three are not. Therefore, in this reference here, it says, although they were sons of such an exalted personality, the most, they were useless. Because they weren't devotees. It's interesting. How is that possible? Being born in such fortunate birth. I mean, that's really the best you can get. Being born as the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, the independence is there. Krishna had a son named Boma, who later became Bhomasura. He was born from Varaha. When Varaha lifted up the earth, he impregnated the earth. And in that impregnation, one son was born, which his name was Bhoma. And later, due to bad association, he became a demon, and Krishna killed him, his own son. So we see, although one may be born in such a fortunate situation, independence is still there. Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons, surrounded by demons, schooled by demons, associated with demons, but yet he was a Mahabhagavat. So we see that sometimes, although birth is advantageous, it's not the deciding factor on how a person will succeed in life, or not succeed, we might say. So here, it's mentioned. Now, Prabhupada also takes this particular reference to this scripture and describes how, when his spiritual master was departing the planet, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, a great Vaishnava, one book was written on a life, it was called Araya Vishnu. He was actually sent by the Lord to do the work. It is understood as by his desire, Krishna consciousness spread throughout the world. And by Srila Prabhupada's taking that desire and activating it and making it happen, is that Krishna consciousness is spread. But it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta who sent men to London back in the 20s, to Germany, to France, and also to Burma, which is now Myanmar. What is that? Myanmar, yeah. They all went to these places. And of course, later on, His Divine Grace went to America. So it was Bhakti Siddhanta, such a powerful acharya. And what did he produce? He produced an army of sannyasis. 60 sannyasis he had. And they were going all over. They practically made the whole continent of India Krishna conscious, establishing temples, preaching programs, dioramas, writing books, performing festivals. It was a wave of spiritual power that swept India by the grace of Bhakti Siddhanta, such a great personality. But what happened? At the end, towards the end, he gave some instructions on how his movement should continue. They didn't follow. He said, elect, choose someone as the next spiritual leader. Elect a governing board commission and manage the society like that. They didn't follow that order because some of them were such powerful preachers that they were writing books themselves and they were also acquiring disciples. But somehow or other, they didn't follow the instructions. And because of that, Prabhupada really speaks about this and writes about it in other places. The entire foundation of this wave of spiritual energy which was sweeping collapsed simply because of the infighting, because they disobeyed the instructions of the spirit realm. And it wasn't a small instruction. It's interesting, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, his movement was only 4 years old. He started, we can say 1966 in New York. In 1970, he elected a governing body commission to manage the ISKCON Society because he saw what happened with his own spiritual master's society, how when they failed to follow, there was so many problems, so much infighting. In fact, there were court cases that went on for 40 and 50 years trying to decide the future of the Gaudiya Math, and who was the next acharya. And Prabhupada said they were both useless. Why? Because of that one deviation. They failed to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And therefore, Prabhupada uses a very direct and very powerful word. They became useless. Doesn't say they became, when we say less valuable, says useless. Why? The instructions of the spiritual master are the instructions of the Lord. There's no difference. One who sees the instructions of the spiritual master or minimizes it, disobeys it, is actually disobeying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly. Krishna empowers his own will and desire to those who take the position of his pure representatives. We sing. We just sang not long ago. What is it? Oh. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Koriya Oikya Ana Kariyam Mane As. What is my food? What gives me nourishment? The words of my spiritual master. This is my foodstuffs. This is what I meditate on. This is what I consider the success of my life. Okay. This is Narottam Das Thakur sings this beautiful Chaksudan Diloye Janmi Janmi Prabhu Say Dibya Gyan Ride Prakasita. Powerful verses. This song that we sing, we call it Guru Puja, is so full of transcendental meaning and spiritual shakti that it is pure scripture itself. Prabhupada said that about that song. It is shastra. It's not just a glorification of the spiritual mass. It's pure, perfect shastra, with pure, given with pure loving devotion to the spiritual master. Such a beautiful song we sing every day. It's so full of bhakti and so full of transcendental meaning. The lotus feet of the spiritual master is the embodiment of pure devotional service. I bow down to that lotus feet, what? With great awe and reverence. Prabhupada comments on this. He says, not hatchet. You know what a hatchet is? You know, one of these devices you use for cutting wood. So when you swing a hatchet, you go up and down real fast. As soon as it hits the wood, you're back up again. Like, not like that. That's not obeisances. When Prabhupada, now Srila Prabhupada, he had to teach us what it meant to worship a spiritual master. And he was the example for the teaching himself. It's kind of difficult when you have to teach others and use yourself as the example, because it kind of makes you look like you're a little proud. He's teaching others how we should worship him, because he is the spiritual master and we need the teachings. So he's using his as an example. And he was very precise, but Prabhupada knew, I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for them. They have to learn. I am their spiritual master, and I'm the one that has to teach them also. And so when devotees would come to serve Prabhupada, he would insist that when they come into the room, disciples that is, they pay their obeisances. And he would also insist that when they left, they do the same thing. And after a while, it became natural. It wasn't such an instruction anymore. Everyone understood. And even if they were serving, they would pay their obeisances, go out and do their service, come back in, pay their obeisances again. Prabhupada wanted us to teach us that the spiritual master is non-different than Krishna. He's different and non-different. In Vaishnav, or we say in spiritual philosophy, something can be the opposite and still be correct. He's different, but non-different. He's not God, but he is worshipped as God. When Prabhupada first began his movement in 1966, he had been preaching to the new devotees in 26 Second Avenue. Of course, most of us were hippies and people coming from the streets and all bad habits, not even bathing regularly, and so many, you know, mode of ignorance activities. He was talking very high philosophy. And he was also saying, because it was quite common, especially at that time, that people would think they were God. You know, somebody would take some LSD and say, I'm God. Or have some kind of experience on drugs or something. Or just do some kind of austerities. So Prabhupada was very enthusiastic to explain that anyone who says he's God, G-O-D, is dog, D-O-G. And he said it a lot. Anyone who says he's God, dog. And he would even bark just to let us know what a dog is like. That was Prabhupada. So the first initiation, Prabhupada, after he gives the initiation, he's speaking. He gives the initiation and he says, everyone who worships the spiritual master should worship the spiritual master as God. And that was the last thing he said in the lecture. And from there he walked out. Now that shocked all these new devotees. He's saying, anyone who says he's God is dog. Now he's saying he's God. Confused everybody except one devotee was a little sharp and says, no, he's not saying he's God. He says, we should see him like that. And this devotee was a leader amongst the other devotees. And after some discussion, they were finally a little bit convinced. And then Prabhupada was approached by that and explained in more detail. So the spiritual master is to be worshipped, and his instructions are what we say, the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada would say, my spiritual master is wrong, but he's right. That's another contradiction, right? Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nandu Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Sisi Gornitai Ki Jai. In other words, even from a material point of view, here I'll give you another example. You'll like this one. This was in the early days, and Prabhupada was making cassette tapes of his lectures were being recorded and later transcribed. In order to get to the lectures to the persons who do the transcribing, he had to mail them. So he was taking the lectures himself, the tapes, and he would wrap them up and he would call one devotee to bring it to the post office. So he did that. So one devotee received a package from Prabhupada. And then when he was walking out, he looks at it and he says, this is not properly wrapped. It's not going to make it. So he goes back and says, Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji. Wasn't Srila Prabhupada then. Swamiji, it's not going to make it in the post office. It's just not wrapped. Prabhupada said, no, that's okay. You just mail it. So he's walking out again, and he says, I don't think Swamiji understands. So he goes back again, makes his petition. It's just not wrapped properly. Prabhupada said, no, it's okay. You just mail it. So he goes. He's thinking, it's not going to make it. I just got to explain to Swamiji, it's got to be wrapped better than this. So he goes back again. Third time. And he makes his, Prabhupada says, slams his fist on the table. Everything I do is perfect. Mail it. Okay. He got the message. First time, he was right. He made his understanding. But then, after receiving the instructions again, he was thinking, maybe he's wrong. So he went back the same. Prabhupada was patient the second time. But Prabhupada wanted to teach that complete allegiance to the spiritual master is the perfection of Krishna Consciousness. Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir, Tata Devi, Tata Guru, Tasyaita Kartitam Yata Prakasanata Mahatmanaha. This verse from Sweta Sutara Upanishads is one of the most powerful verses in the Shastras. It says, because it gives complete perfection. One who has implicit faith, not faith, it doesn't say faith, it says that faith which is unbroken in both the spiritual master and the Lord, implicit faith, all the imports of all Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed within the heart of that devotee. That faith alone, which is implicit, which is pure, perfect, and without the slightest, what we say, doubt, is perfection. So, worship of the spiritual master is actually worship of the Lord. The spiritual master does not want worship, but he knows in order for the disciples to benefit, he receives worship on behalf of the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta writes this very, very long, it's called Humbler Than a Blade of Grass. Have you read that essay that he wrote? He says, I can't remember the exact word. He says, just look at the zoo animal. Because he is sitting there on this high seat. And he is receiving so many accolades and so many praises. And he's thinking, this is very nice. So he's doing conjecture. In other words, he's seeing himself sitting on the Vyasasan, getting all this praise and what we say is service, and how other people are seeing. Oh, he's so puffed up. And he's getting all this, you know, praise and worship. Obviously, he likes it. And he says, I have to accept this kind of perdition. That's been condemnation, and go to hell for so many births in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be slighted by those who don't understand in order for me to do my service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not easy for the spiritual master to accept all this worship, praise, honor, and sometimes so many wonderful gifts. But at the same time, it's all for the Lord. And if the spiritual master, we'll switch it a little bit, accepts any of these things for his own benefit, and in the mood of trying to enjoy that, he actually blocks that relationship with the Supreme Lord. And if he continues with that, he becomes, what we say, unqualified. Going back from the other side, but the disciple should worship the Lord, the spiritual master, in that mood. Because that brings about success in devotional service. That brings about success in devotion. Bhaktisiddhanta, I mean, what a powerful acharya he was. Amazing how many books he wrote, how many principles he established of the execution of devotional service that wasn't established then that are established now in our sampradaya. Articles, powerful preacher. Prabhupada said, my spiritual master was a Vaikuntha man. He was not of this world. He came to do this mission. He was sent by the Lord. But still, his disciples disobeyed his instructions. Many of them did, not all of them. And because of that, they became, what we say, asara. Asara means useless. So there are five ways, and this is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how one can, what we say, not follow the instructions of the spiritual master. We might say five ways that a disciple becomes, what we say, useless. Should I tell you the five ways? And this, the story is Indra. Indra's sitting on the throne. He's surrounded by all the devas, and they're singing his praises. There's an umbrella over his head. His wife is sitting next to him on the throne. He's being fanned with a charmer. There's dancing. There's singing. There's eulogies. There's glorifications. There's worship. Brihaspati walks in while Indra's sitting there. Brihaspati sees. Indra looks, sees his spiritual master walk in. Doesn't do anything. Because when the spiritual master walks in, the disciple immediately offers worship or respect to the spiritual master. That is an etiquette. He didn't do that. Brihaspati didn't say anything. He noted Indra's, what we say, transgression, turned around and left immediately. As soon as that happened, Indra realized, uh-oh. And of course, right after that, the demigods lost their power because they made the offense against their spiritual master, and the demons overruled the kingdom and kicked the demigods out of the heavenly planets. And that was that led into another whole scenario of demigods approaching the Lord to get their kingdom back. But because of this offense by Indra, and in one purport it mentions there's five ways in that particular section mentions there's five ways that a disciple can transgress the proper behavior and etiquette in relationship to the spiritual master. One is disobedience. Two is hypocrisy. Three, duplicity. Four, faithlessness. And five, familiarity. If a disciple falls into one of these categories, becomes duplicitous, becomes hypocritical, loses faith in his spiritual master. Sometimes we see that. Or becomes familiar. Because sometimes the spiritual master is very friendly with the disciple. But if the disciple takes that friendliness and uses it to act in the same way and loses respect based on that and becomes familiar, then no longer is that spiritual master able to discipline that disciple properly. The relationship has somewhat changed like that. And the, of course, hypocrisy means, you know, I present myself as a great devotee, but really I got all these material desires that I'm trying to fulfill. Like that. So, and of course we can discuss each one of them individually, but this is mentioned. So a devotee, a disciple, always should have complete respect and obedience for our own spiritual master. It doesn't mean you, just like we use that story of how that person kept coming back to Prabhupada. The first time he came back, it was actually intelligence. Oh, this needs to be wrapped. But after receiving the instruction the second time, then he no longer was using his intelligence. So a disciple may question the instructions of a spiritual master in a humble way for either understanding, clarification, or maybe to receive another instruction which is more doable. You can also do that. But after hearing again from the spiritual master, one should accept like that. So sometimes we say we shouldn't question at all. It's better if you don't, but using your intelligence in some cases, there is that the element that maybe I need to understand this principle deeper. And so, therefore, Ravoda uses his intelligence, but with humility. Like that. Why am I putting so much emphasis on this point? Because your whole spiritual life depends on understanding this principle. If you understand this principle, your whole spiritual life is successful. Obedience, allegiance to the spiritual master is allegiance and obedience to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One accepts the spiritual master as the representative of God, non-differently. And therefore, one should be very careful. Now, there's two kinds of instructions that spiritual master gives, two categories, the general ones and specific. Not everyone gets specific instructions. Those who get specific instructions are considered to be very fortunate. Like when Prabhupada was here, he gave instructions to some to carry out certain orders or to perform certain services like that. But not everybody got that instruction because not everybody had that, you know, that position. So, but for those who received that, that was special, to get a direct instruction from your spiritual master and carry that out. That's a blessing. But in general, the instructions of the spiritual master are found in his writings, in his words, his books, whatever. In other words, his vakya, in whatever form that vakya takes. Then that is what we should meditate on. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is your most important instruction to your disciples? Prabhupada got every question you can think of. And it was good, because now we know what is the standard. Prabhupada was challenged by his disciples, but challenged in an intelligent way to bring out more and more ideas and understanding. And the Prabhupada's answer was, my most important instruction to my disciples is that they every day chant 16 rounds on beads without fail. That was Prabhupada's response. So he told us that the most important thing is to chant 16 rounds every day on the beads as the foremost duty in our relationship with the spiritual master. How important that is. Like that. And Prabhupada gave so many other general instructions. But a lot of times, if devotees don't read Prabhupada's books or don't hear enough from their own spiritual master, they'll be what we say guilty of committing an aparad simply because of not knowing. You can't say, I didn't know the spiritual master's instructions in this case. Therefore, Prabhupada said, read my books. That's why hearing regular from the spiritual master is the foundation for developing that faith and that obedience like that. That's why we have to read these books, or we read the books of our spiritual masters like that, and hear regularly. That way we know what to do and what not to do, what to follow and what not to follow. And sometimes there's contradiction between. I mean, if you read Prabhupada's books, his letters, and his discussions, you'll find apparent contradictions. And there's where a devotee has to ask questions for clarification or to understand what is a principle and what is a detail and how to apply both according to what we say, the spiritual master's guidance, like that. So that's important, that we understand what's in these books. We don't read the books. We don't know. I was in New Vrindavan for many years, more than 20 years, and there was some, what we say, changes on how we perform the worship. And we were thinking it was okay. But later on, after reading more of Prabhupada's books and going deeper into what he said in his lectures and his conversations, we found that a lot of things we were doing or particularly against his instructions. But we didn't know it immediately. And therefore, we went on with our, what we say, ideas for improvement, which was not really improvement. It was a transgression of the instructions, like that. Prabhupada says, the spiritual master says, bring me a glass of water. And you bring him a glass of milk. And you think, oh, milk's better than water. Prabhupada said, you missed. I asked for water, you're bringing me milk. No, he really wants milk. He's not saying it. There's three kinds of disciples. One, first class, knows the mind of the spiritual master and doesn't even have to be instruction. Carries out the instructions. Second, is told what to do and does it. And third is, Prabhupada said, you tell him what to do, he goes out of the room, comes back and said, what did you say? Third class. Or one who is thinking they're first class, but is not first class, becomes third class. Therefore, second class is the safest. In other words, I think I know my mind and my spiritual master, but he doesn't. Therefore, he makes mistakes and commits offenses. And the idea that I really know how to do it. So Prabhupada said, be second class. But if you can be first class, then that's the best, of course. Like that. So therefore, the instructions of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the devotees. It's his creeper back to Godhead, his connection to Krishna, like that. And therefore, we worship the spiritual master by worshiping his instructions. His instructions are none different than him. And Prabhupada said that. When I am God, gone, what is left? My instructions. That's how you keep connection with me, through my instructions. Instructions are none different. There's Vani and Vapu. Prabhupada says, Vapu means personal association. Prabhupada says, personal association may be beneficial, may not be beneficial. We might think, oh, personal association is good. Yes, but it also, one could also commit offenses in that association or not behave properly and not get the benefit. Therefore, Vapu is wonderful, but Vani is supreme. Vani means one who meditates on the instructions of the spiritual master as their life and soul, becomes connected with the spiritual master at every moment. As Srila Prabhupada was asked, he said, I am never separated from my spiritual master, because I'm always thinking how to execute his order, like that. So there's the connection. There's the connection. Because it's spiritual. Prabhupada used to say, you're chanting Hare Krishna, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. What's the question of separation? We are together. We are together because we're both associating with Krishna through the holy name, and therefore, because Krishna's holy name is completely spiritual, that association is there for those who associate. There's those who chant the holy names. That's the power of devotional service. When Malati was serving Srila Prabhupada as his personal servant, at one point Prabhupada had to leave her association and travel. She was feeling unhappy. After some time being away from Prabhupada, she wrote him a letter. And in that letter, she expressed her heart, how she was missing Prabhupada's association. And Prabhupada acknowledged that, her loving sentiment. But he wanted to give us a clear understanding of the philosophy. And part of that response in the letter, he said, the spiritual master is not the body. He is the principle of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not the body. He is the principle of devotional service. So if we associate with the instructions, we're associating with that principle like that. And we could be associating with the spiritual master in physical proximity and still miss that association. It says that when Krishna was here on the planet 5,000 years ago, millions of living entities saw him. Only between 100 and 200, it's mentioned many times, actually understood he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's Krishna. That's Krishna. So it's the instructions that make our connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead complete. And one who follows those instructions actually becomes, what we say, a pure devotee. Okay. Any questions? It's a very important topic.